org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom
to know the difference.
I will,
not mine.
Done. Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening. For the record, are there any compulsive overeaters at this meeting other than myself?
We're here.
We got a bunch of us out here.
Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. So let me just see. I don't see someone signed up for, if you signed up for What Is How, can you please unmute and share?
Nobody signed up. I'm happy to share. I'm Heidi. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Heidi. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Heidi.
Reading one, What Is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous, whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating in the beginning of a spiritual life? Where and why did HAL begin? HAL began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HAL sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Heidi. Would Pamela K. please read the only requirement?
Hi, everybody. Let me see if I can get here. Hold on.
Go ahead.
I don't have my, am I unmuted?
Welcome, Pamela. We can hear you.
Hi. Hey, Pamela.
Okay, thank you. The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HAL concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individuals' ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay, the how concept. Would Rena D. please read the how concept?
Hi, thank you, yes.
Welcome, Rena.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena, welcome.
Thank you so much. The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing in us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer? Oh, we can't hear you, Tamara. Okay, Tamara, can you start again? We can't hear you.
Okay.
Now we can.
Okay. Hey, Tamara, good to hear you.
Okay.
Hey, Tamara.
Thank you. Thank you. There we go. My name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices from the doctor's opinion in the big book. If the sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. That's from the family afterwards, the Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Okay, would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, this is Maureen, compulsive overeater.
When we look, Maureen, welcome.
Hi. Hey, Maureen, welcome.
Thanks. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into object of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting, with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, and along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while starving our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we stuffed, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
Would someone please read chapter 5 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, this is Alyssa, a compulsive overeater, food addict from Seattle. And I have
Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome.
Hi, Alyssa. Welcome.
Hi. Okay. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with food, or from chapter 5, alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
I am Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly.
Kelly, welcome.
Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Megan in Virginia. The 12 traditions.
Megan, welcome.
Thank you. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for membership, OA membership, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me read.
Thanks, Megan.
Oh, Megan, sorry. The tools of recovery, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, are a program of recovery. Webster's dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program, which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What? No really? Way.
Wow. Kidding.
So too, with our tools of recovery, I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Megan, thank you for being our timer. Participants receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food in our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all of our portions so there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye or this eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale, and I'm going to show you. I've got my little kit here. First of all, we have we all kind of probably started with this spring-loaded scale. You put it on a flat surface. You can't see my table, I guess, if I switch this around. I don't know if I'm upside down or if you can actually see the table, but you can put it in here. You zero it out in the back and you put, sorry, that's not gonna work for me. And you make sure that it just splits exactly the line. If you get 3 ounces, you want it to be right on the 3. You don't take more than that or less than that. Then I graduated to a digital scale. So I turn it on and put my plate on here. I press the zero button. And then if I get 3 ounces of protein, I put my 3 ounces on there and I wait until it says 3.0. I don't do 2.9 or 3.7 or anything other than 3.0. I adjust it until it's exact. And then I can zero it out and then I can weigh 3.5 ounces of sweet potato or whatever my measurement for my next item is. And we can build a meal that way. Some of us, you have liquid. We use liquid measuring. This is a liquid measuring cup. Again, I would put it on a flat surface, not my hand. And then I would fill it up if I'm having a cup of milk and I would make, or 8 ounces, I would make sure it's right on the line of the 8, not above or below. And the same works with the cups and the spoons. We would put in whatever we're having. If I get a cup of cooked vegetables, I'll put them in there and I'll pat it down and I'll take a straight edge over the top. And everything that's in the cup is mine. Everything that's on the straight edge or around the edge or on the table or on the floor or on someone else's plate, not mine. But everything in there is mine, especially with the spoons. If I have oil or butter in there, make sure you get everything out of there. You want everything you have, or nuts. Whatever you have in there, it's yours. If it's not in there, not for that meal. And the other thing we use is a telephone. I call in my food to my sponsor every morning when I'm doing my assignment with her. I commit what I'm going to have. And then if anything changes on my plan, say like, well, an example is I had committed 2 ounces of avocado and when I opened up the avocado, it was rotten. So I wasn't going to eat that. So I changed my fat for that meal. I called my sponsor and made the change to my other 2 fats. And that was the end of it. And I made the change. If she wasn't around, then I would contact 2 other sponsors. And then if they're not there and it's an easy change, I just go ahead and make the change after I've left my message. If it's something, more than just an easy change. I've had a salad with chicken on it and I've had a cat run by and take some of my chicken and run off. It happens, especially if you have pets, you know that can happen. I didn't know how much she had taken or I didn't have, so I just called a sponsor and I just did whatever they told me to do. I didn't wrestle my cat for the chicken. I just, if they said take a little more, I took a little more. I don't even remember, it was a long time ago. If they said forget it, I forgot it. The point is that I didn't make the decision on the food. So that's our abstinence kit, the tools that we use for weighing and measuring. Number 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number 5, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number 6, we do not drink alcohol. Number 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And then I just wanted to share out of the AA Big Book on from the doctor's opinion, page XXX. At the bottom, it says, all these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking, or in my case, eating, without developing the phenomenon of craving. And then a few sentences later, it says, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And this here, all of this here, this is my abstinence kit. That is what I use to remain sane and safe. And really doing all of these tools, and I still measure some things in cups. A lot of things I weigh, but I do still measure some things. And when I write that down and commit it, it's just, especially now where there's so much kind of chaos going on in the world, this is one thing that I know is set. I've committed it, it's set. I don't have to wonder what I'm having for this meal or, you know, I was just talking to my sponsor the other day saying, this time would be crazy if I was in the food. No line would be too long to wait in. I would be crabby. It would be horrible. And I really have had a lot of peace in all of this. And it really is because of the program that I'm working. And I can't do any of the other tools if I'm not abstinent. And so that's what we do. And I'm grateful for it. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks Heidi.
Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Sponsorship.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota.
Hi Carrie. Welcome.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, thank you. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how they achieved it. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections for the sponsor and suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-all and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive to not only what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else, and therefore the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using tools of weighing and measuring our food sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of the OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. All right. I wrote a little bit today, so I'm just going to read what I wrote. In the big book, it states that it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble, and if we do, alcohol is a subtle foe. It's food for us. We are not cured of our eating. We are not cured of overeating. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much of us has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we carefully follow directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit in us. To that same extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and this means more action. So we do some actions in this program, and one of the actions is being a sponsor. And I've had a few sponsees. I'm new to the program. I've been in the program for 7 months, and I've had a few sponsees come and go. And I'm amazed if a sponsee makes it more than a week, because it's a simple program, but it's not easy. So I'm grateful for the sponsees that make it. This sponsee-sponsor relationship gives me an opportunity to practice what I should have learned growing up. I don't have children, so I don't know what it's like to take care of another human being. But what an honor that we have as a sponsor to be able to stand for somebody in recovery, to be able to stand for someone and watch them recover. It's just, it's a gift from God and watch their lives change for the better. So yeah, the actions of this program just provide me the honor of watching the gift of recovery. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Will all sponsors How and OA please join me in sharing the following? How long in OA and how? How long abstinent in OA or how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise your hand button on the participants panel or pressing star and 9 on your phone or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line.
I can go. Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive over and under eater. I've been in the program since September 21st of 2019. I've had one slip and recommitted, and I've been relieved of 39 pounds since my top weight. With that, I'll pass.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016. I heard about the How program at the Buffalo Retreat and became abstinent on April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the How program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass.
Hi, this is Mary G., compulsive overeater. I came into OA in the spring of 2004, came into OA How on October 31st, 2012, came absent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds. Thanks.
Go ahead, Sheila.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds, and I'll pass.
Lewis?
Proud Over Food, my name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year, and I'm 80 pounds below my top weight by the grace of God and the fellowship of OA How.
Megan?
Hey, y'all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA How sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away about 85 to 90 pounds in program twice, had an abstinent pregnancy, and I'm a relapse survivor. Megan in Virginia, and I pass.
Kelly C.?
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. I started working the OA How two-hour format in December of 2019. My back-to-back abstinence date is November of 2019, and I have lost 30 pounds. And I am available to help newcomers or help someone as a temp, and I just put my information in the chat. Thank you.
Heidi?
Hi, I'm Heidi, compulsive overeater. I came directly into How in October 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for 7 years, and then I chose to leave the program. I quickly gained 110 of that back. My abstinent date is July 26th of 2019, and I am down 67 pounds.
Michelle?
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Michelle. Michelle C. I'm compulsive overeater and food addict. I first came into How in September of 2012, It has taken me 7.5 years to obtain my 100 days of abstinence or so. My back-to-back abstinence date has been January 14th of 2020. I am down 30 pounds for my top weight. And I am available for TIM sponsoring and for food changes. And my information is on the WeCare list. So that's all. I pass.
Liz?
Hello, my name is Liz A., and I'm a compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. And I am a sponsor in the two-hour HOW format. I joined HOW in 2018, and my abstinence date is 8-8-2019. And I've released 55 pounds, 35 of those in HOW. Liz A., pass.
Deborah?
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started working the HOW concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12, 2018, and I am down over 120 pounds, and I pass.
Kelly?
Hi, this is Kelly from California, compulsive overeater and a two-hour HOW format sponsor. I came to HOW in October of 2018, and my back-to-back abstinence date is February 27, 2019. And I'm down, maintaining about a 70-pound weight loss. And I do have availability to temp someone if you need a temp for a day or a few days. And I'll leave my information in the chat box. Thank you.
Pamela?
I am Pamela from Sarasota, Florida. I'm a two-hour house sponsor. I came into OA over 40 years ago. I stayed for 20. I lost over 100 pounds. Then I left for over 20 years. I came back in January 22nd, 2017. And my recommitment date is June 15, 2017. And my weight gain or loss is between me, my higher power, my doctor, and my sponsor, and I have no
Revital.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital. I walked into the OA rooms in December of 2004. Had a really hard time, could not get abstinent. Was introduced to the two-hour OA HOW program in May of 2017. On May 23rd, 2017, I marked my abstinence and continue to remain abstinent to this day by the grace of God and the power of this program. Thanks for letting me share.
Julie?
Hi, I'm Julie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I started HOW in June of 2013. My renewed abstinence date is January 23rd, 2020, and I have been relieved of 50 pounds. Pass.
Chris?
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater currently in Findlay, Ohio tonight. I have been in OA since February of 1994. I'm down 62 pounds from my top weight, and 40 in OA HOW. My abstinence date is July 13th of 2019. I have availability for a sponsee at 6:30 a.m. Central Time, and I'll leave my number and email in the general chat. Thank you.
Ruth?
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA HOW sponsor. I came into OA HOW in 2006. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss. Ruth in Connecticut.
Becky?
Hi, I'm Becky, a compulsive overeater. I started OA HOW August 1st of 2003. Date of abstinence August 2017, and I'm down 60 pounds. Thanks.
Jane?
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I came into regular OA, I want to say 8 years ago, and then stumbled into How a little reluctantly at first, but willing. September 19th, 2019. So I'm pretty new, 7 months in. I've lost 14 pounds and I'm available for temp sponsoring, food changes, that sort of thing. Thanks.
Nilani.
Hi, my name is Nilani from Guam, a compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinent date is February 1st of 2012. I'm maintaining a 35 to a 40 pound weight loss. Nilani from Guam, pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago. I'm a two-hour OA House sponsor. I've been in my back-to-back abstinence date is February 11th, 2019. By the grace of God, I've lost 63 pounds, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks, and I pass.
Leslie?
Hi. Can you hear me?
You can be heard.
Okay. Not sure if you can see me or not, but this is Leslie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee and a two-hour OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date in How is December the 8th, 2017, and I've lost 65 pounds in the program. The last 25 of those have been in OA How, and I pass.
Rosemary?
Hi. I'm Rosemary from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Rosemary, you're muted.
Oh.
Hold on. There you go. Now we can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
You can be heard. Yep.
Okay. I came into the rooms of How in April of 2005. I have been relieved of 70 to 75 pounds through the grace of this fellowship and program. And I'm very grateful to be a member. And my back-to-back absence date is dates my recent one from February 25th of 2019. I pass.
And I know there was a few people on the phone. If you want to press *6 and join the sponsor line. Anybody on the phone?
Okay. Thank you, sponsors. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal or mark him or her out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. With a sponsor, please share on anonymity.
Hi, I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict, 2 hour house sponsor.
Hi, Pamela.
Anonymity. Hi, Pamela. Welcome.
Thank you. Anonymity is a tool as well as tradition because of it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity is the level of prep, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. within the fellowship, anonymity means whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service officers of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
You're here.
You're here. anonymity is very important to me. I come from another 12-step program, and anonymity is part of their traditions also, but it's loosely adhere to. And when I first came into HOW, and somebody got up and said their conception of this anonymity, and they said that we don't share our sponsors, we don't share our sponsees, I'm saying, well, how do you know that you've got a good sponsor or not if you're not sharing it? You know, and so for as far as the other program, when, you know, it was very loosely adhered to, and I was not used to, I'm a gossiper. I was brought up with gossip. My grandmother would gossip about my mother would gossip about my aunt, and her sister, and it was just all gossip, and that's where I learned how to do it. And I felt left out if I wasn't in part of a conversation with somebody, you know. And I did a lot of eavesdropping, and it got me in trouble. It did, and I am really fond of anonymity. I have seen it work badly where a friend of mine who was an alcoholic had her anonymity broken, and she went back out and died. And I've seen that in OA also. You know, anonymity is very important to us. And we need to have that freedom to be able to share how we're feeling and where we're at for this time that we are together. And to know that it's going to stay. It's going to stay in the rooms and it's not going to get out all over the place. And the other thing is that when I sponsor, I don't tell my sponsor who I'm sponsoring. I don't tell who my sponsor is. And it's really, I do have a little story. When I first came back to Howe, a lady got up and told her, pitched on anonymity, and she said, you know, when we go out in public, we don't recognize each other. Well, it was like a day or so later, and I ran into her in the grocery store, and I went up to her and whispered hello, and I said, does this count as a hookup? And she said, no, give me a call when you get home. And she chuckled. You know, and that's a fond memory of anonymity for me.
Time, please.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be of service in your program.
Thank you, Pamela.
Okay, would a sponsor please pitch on telephone calls?
Hi, my name is Liz A.
Hey, Liz, welcome.
Thanks. Grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. And how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So when I first started program, it was a real act of surrender to dial the phone to a total stranger and just say, hi, I'm Liz and I'm new to program. But my sponsor told me, just tell them that you're a newcomer and they would be nice to you. And so I did, and they were. I make at least, I'm on the phone at least 5 times a day. I call my sponsor calls me, my sponsee calls me, and I make at least 3 more calls to other people in program. And the telephone is what AA was founded on. And I just want to read from the big book on page 8. Near the end of that bleak November, I sat, and this is from Bill's story. I sat drinking in my kitchen. With a certain sense of satisfaction, I reflected there was enough gin concealed about the house to carry me through that night and the next day. My musing was interrupted by the telephone. The cheery voice of an old school friend asked if he might come over. He was sober. It was years since I could remember his coming to New York in that condition. I was amazed. Rumor had it that he had been committed for alcoholic insanity. I wondered how he had escaped. So when we're on the phone with our fellows, we could ask them how they escaped the disease of compulsive overeating. We talk about what we're doing in our program, and for beginners, that might be just sharing how overwhelming all the tools are, and maybe get some tips on bulk cooking and food prep. The telephone is how I reach out to more experienced members if I have a question about what to do with the spot C. It's where we share any problems that we're having. pick up the food, pick up the phone before you pick up the food. It's just where we share one-on-one, and when I get a phone call, I try to answer and take food changes, and that way, when I reach out, someone else will pick up the phone for me. So it's like a fire drill. We get into the habit of reaching out to others so that when there's a problem and we need it, we're ready and comfortable doing that, and we have our network. So with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. Okay, would a sponsor please pitch on meetings?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago.
Hi, Erlinda. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, Erlinda.
So meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive overeaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of all of them, As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. So I don't know about you guys, but I was actually surrendered to almost everything except meetings. I literally was like, why do we have to listen to the same thing over and over again? And I was really kind of like, I don't know. That was really hard for me to surrender to. But as time went by, like, yes, like some of the content is the same, but people share their different stories. So it does change, you know? But what I got was that, like, when you are doing our program and, well, as an overeater, compulsive overeater, it's like, it's so easy to kind of forget. It's like drop little things or like, what, you know, like just, it's easy to kind of get through the flow and like forget things or like, you know, get caught up in your life. And like the meetings are like my grounding point. So they kind of bring me back to center. It's like, oh yeah, what is program? What is my commitments? What did I promise? So it kind of keeps me grounded now. So after resisting, I'm totally surrendered to them now. And I really appreciate them. And two other things I want to say, you know, when this whole thing happened where we're staying at home and whatnot, like I really felt like this is a community. In Chicago, we don't have live meetings. So especially this Tuesday night meeting, it just makes a difference because I get to put a face to a name and really feel connected and really a part of a community. So meetings are so important to, you know, share in our recovery because it's like cheering someone else on for their recovery just inspires me and as well as keeps me focused on my recovery. So that's all I want to say about meetings. They're wonderful and just thanks for including me and thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Erlinda.
Thanks, Erlinda.
Would a sponsor please pitch on literature and writing?
Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. Can someone read it? And I'll share.
I can read it.
Thank you, Heidi.
Literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, and the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today, for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that give us insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions, in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. Go ahead, Lewis.
Thank you, Heidi. The thing that I find most remarkable about the reading and writing tool is that the reading in themselves is it's a sharing of the people that have gone before us. And so it is, there's such a rich legacy and such rich information in there. And the writing piece of it is how I respond to the reading. And to me, the writing is one of the most spiritual things I do on a daily basis, because I typically, when I put pen to paper, I have no idea what I'm going to write. I read it and then all of a sudden I just start writing. And typically what comes out is stuff that I find, looking back on it, remarkable. I always focus on what's going on today and try to relate it to the reading. And somehow the lessons come out, and I just learned so much about how to apply the information in the reading into my life. Plus it's the exchange of that information with my sponsor as well. It's just, the whole thing is extremely rich. And it's a great differentiator. I'm in other 12-step programs, and this reading and writing tool is a great differentiator that we have in this program. And it is one of the most important tools for me. If I don't, you know, I can't remember the last time I didn't do it. So, and I'm just so, so grateful that it's here, and so, so grateful that there's a focus on it as well. So that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lewis. Okay, would a sponsor please pitch on service?
Hi, this is I'm Michelle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Michelle, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. Michelle, compulsive overeater and food addict. The tool of service, carrying the message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer, is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help eat. That will help reach a fellow sufferer, adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back, and what we have, what we give back, what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always extend the hand and heart to OA. The hand and heart of OA to all who share our share my compulsion. For this I am responsible. My first time sharing on a tool, so bear with me as I ad lib here. What does service mean to me? In a way, how and how does it make me feel? First of all, I do service by attending meetings, by reading, by taking a reading at a meeting, and now by sharing on tools. Doing service also means donating money to our Tuesday night group, so that the message can be carried throughout the whole world. And also calling my sponsor and making 3+ hookup calls a day is a great way of doing service. Okay, so all of these things really strengthen my abstinence. Gosh, when we make ourselves available to each other, we both recover. We both receive blessings of the program. And I just feel very grateful. And I feel energized when I've helped another fellow compulsive overeater with my words or my actions. And it's just a true blessing that we're here for each other. It's one of the miracles of our program. And just wanted to share in the 12 and 12 on page 130, it talks about that we cannot keep this priceless gift unless we give it away. Neither he nor anybody else can survive unless we carry the OA message. And we do that by being of service. Also in the big book, on page 153, it says, then you will know what it means to give of yourself, that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. I think that's that. It's just such an amazing program. And because everyone is able to be of service to each other, it's what makes this program tick. It's what makes it all possible. So,
time, please.
Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay, service!
Yay, service!
The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you're attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press *6 on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. So do we have any newcomers tonight? Anyone new to this meeting? So if you're new, you just press *6 or you can unmute or raise your hand on the chat.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Rita and I'm from Minneapolis. This is my first time.
Hi, Rita. Welcome.
Hi, Rita. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, could you please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call, Rita?
Yes. I'll put it in the messages.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I was here last week, but I was too afraid to do this. So thank you. I'm from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Kelly, welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to leave your phone number and best times to call?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, are you going to put it in the chat?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Welcome. Anyone else? Okay, this meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_abbreviation_city.
May we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater, still the treasurer for this meeting. I will share that last week we did not receive any money from this meeting, so I thought that was of worth of noting. However, I did want to acknowledge that some people give on a monthly basis, so they have given in other weeks. So nothing from last week. Thanks.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Our seventh tradition helps us meeting, provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, and refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Okay, so we've got some bad news for you.
Oh, Kelly.
Not tonight.
It was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you have been in the past. You are a compulsive eater. Big Book, page 187. Are there any announcements?
Yes, this is Sheila, and I am still a compulsive eater. Have a couple of announcements. Wanted to mention about a couple of events that we have coming up. The first event is on May 9th, and it's a virtual workshop, and it's called 12 Stepping Through COVID-19 Stress and Lack of Toilet Paper. That is a workshop. It'll be a virtual workshop on, again, Saturday, May 9th from 9 a.m. to noon Central Standard Time. And kind of topics of the workshop are managing fear, managing resentments, building upon faith, and building upon strength. And you can find more information and how to register for that on the Unity Intergroup website, which is overeaters.org, and go under the events tab. And then there is another event coming up at the end of May, beginning of June. Typically here in Minnesota, at the end of May, we always have a big book study, and it's a kind of a weekend event. Due to lack of travel and COVID-19 and most of us needing to not get together in large groups of people, this is going to be kind of a virtual workshop, and it's going to take place. It's two different Saturdays. It's May 30th and June 6th, starting at 9 a.m. each day. And that is, it's a full complete big book study. So two Saturdays, and also you can find the registration and additional information related to that event also out on the overeaters.org website. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila.
I have an announcement to make. This is Heidi, compulsive overeater, getting tired of hearing from me. Next week, May 5th at 8 p.m. after our meeting, we're gonna have a quick group conscious meeting, a business meeting, to decide a few things about our current meeting, how we do a few things. The three things on the list right now are, we were asked to take a look at self-funding for our ASL interpreters, so we want to discuss that as a group. And then another item are the sharing times in the meeting, so we don't go over, and we want to take a look at sponsor line tools, leader, speaker, and pitches times, and then possibility of shipping medallions to people who request those and how we go about doing that if we can. And if you have anything else you would like to add to the meeting, you do need to be present. It will be right after this meeting next week, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, on this same Zoom meeting. And if you would like to add something, you need to be present to discuss your item, but please text or call me with your item and I'm happy to add it to the list. My number is 651-216-1729. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Are there any other announcements? Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.com. oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, so I don't have the time breakdown. Heidi, are you there to do the like countdown of time?
I sure can.
Thank you.
So we celebrate recovery and we celebrate black and white back-to-back abstinence in the HOW program, which includes all the tools you heard us speak about earlier. Is there anybody tonight celebrating 10 or more years of back-to-back abstinence? And for future, it's just whatever you make up, Kelly. Anybody doing celebrating 5 to 9 years of back-to-back abstinence? What about 2 through 4? And if you are, just turn on your video. 18 months for anybody? 1 year back-to-back abstinence? Kelly, do you want to ask about the 9-month one?
Okay, do we have anyone celebrating 9 months of abstinence tonight?
Me tonight, me.
Hi.
So thank you. I'll give you a virtual hug.
Yay.
Thank you. Anybody with 6 months or 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, 30 days? Do you want me to go ahead and do the 24-hour one too, Kelly? Or okay. So and then we have one other chip of desire, we call it. It's a 24-hour medallion. It doesn't mean that you've been abstinent for 24 hours or even that you want to be abstinent for 24 hours, but it does mean that you might have seen something here that just means you want to do something different than what you're doing. You maybe see some hope, or you just really want to do something different than what you're doing with your food right now. It's great for beginners, it's great for newcomers, and it's great for anybody who just needs a boost in their own program, even if you've been in the program for years. It's a crazy world out there right now, and if you would like a boost in your program, turn on your camera or microphone and let us know, and we would love to get a medallion to you for 24 hours. Anybody? Anyone at all?
I would like one.
Yay, Kelly.
Thank you.
Yay, Kelly.
Kelly, I will either send you mine or something. I'll make sure you get one if you want to give me your address in a private chat message. I can send you one and send you good wishes from everybody on this meeting. We'll all send those to you virtually. But I'd love to send you a medallion if you'd like one.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Great. Anybody else want a 24-hour medallion? Going once.
Well, this is Julie B. I don't have, I'm not asking for a 1-day medallion, but I do have 90 days. I didn't unmute in time there. So.
Awesome. Yay.
Thanks.
Great, Julie.
Yay.
Hey, Julie.
Julie, do you want us to send you your 90-day medallion?
No, thanks. I've got plenty.
Oh, okay, great. Virtually, we are sending our hugs and good wishes. Anybody else for a 24-hour medallion or one that I missed or anything? All right. If you change your mind, just send me a private chat message. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi, and congratulations, Heidi, Julie, and Kelly. Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask that the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, newcomers are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and remember that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups?
Okay. Tonight.
Thank you, Howard. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, the candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video. Are there any anniversaries? I don't believe we had anyone. Was there anyone?
Pretty soon.
Okay. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. Okay, so the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. I just want to start my timer. So hello, family. My name is Kelly F. There's three Kellys on this line right now. So Kelly F as in Frank. I'm in Southern California. I'm learning ASL during the break during COVID while I'm home all the time. So just my story, you guys have heard it, but 10 minutes, I'll get you up to where I'm at now. So what I was like, I was born a compulsive overeater. Food became my comfort. It was my companion from an early age. And looking back, I never thought I'd be grateful that the food was there. And when I used to hear people say, I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, I never got it. And now I can say I'm a grateful compulsive overeater just because of what this program has given to my life. So food was my friend, like I said, and just struggled with weight my entire life, just a yo-yo dieter. I ran the list in the meetings when we say all the crazy things we've done with food. I'm like, check, check, I earned my seat here. And I just didn't know I had a spiritual problem with only a spiritual solution. I thought I was the problem and life was the problem. I thought food was the solution. I thought, why don't I just have enough willpower or self-will to start these diets? And my diets, they typically started on Monday with a firm resolve, with and without a solemn oath, straight out of the big book. I'd buy a new journal, I'd buy a new pen. I loved birthdays because that was the wish, ironically, before I blew out the candles on the birthday cake and ate the entire birthday cake. That was always my wish, is just like, make me thin. New Year's resolutions, you get what I'm saying. They worked until they didn't. I was always just white knuckling life, white knuckling these diets. So it wasn't until, actually I'm 46, I came to program when I was 39 from a therapist who said, why don't you try Overeaters Anonymous? And I thought, oh my God, who named it that? I really have to go to something called Overeaters Anonymous. And for years I would say, where's my big book? I would say that I'm less embarrassed of my big book coming falling out of my purse, not this one won't fit, then the brown book, because the brown book said Overeaters Anonymous. And you know, in the media, and you hear celebrities going to AA, but no one talked about the food. I was friends with thin people. I saw everyone live or eat with impunity, and I just didn't stop. The food didn't stop. And you know, the doctor's opinion teaches me that I have the allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, and someone read it earlier, I think it was Liz A., the only thing we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And I've got to say, I'm a slow learner. When I first came to OA, I had an AA sponsor who just loved and breathed the big book, and she said, read the doctor's opinion and let me know what you thought. So unlike Cal, where that assignment would have been due the following day, maybe I called her back a month later and I said, I didn't even get the doctor's opinion. Dr. Silkworth, it was just so archaic. I didn't understand it. And my first big book that she had given to me, the doctor's opinion actually fell out. That's how old the big book was. And I thought, I didn't understand that chapter anyways, who cares? So when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When I was desperate and willing to go to any lengths, and I was reintroduced to that same book. I thought the pages, you know, magically transformed overnight because I'd never read these new words. I saw that the doctor's opinion was just so vital to my story. And if I didn't get entire abstinence, I was going to live in this disease for the rest of my life. So for years, I kept that big book with all the pages falling out so that every time I opened, I had to physically put the doctor's opinion in as just a reminder that that's the formidable chapter for me. When I first read the big book, I just identified out. So Bill's story was the same thing. I don't get it. I'm not a man, an alcoholic. I'm not a war veteran. I didn't grow up in the 30s. And so I just identified out. And it wasn't until years later that I got a guide that only talked big book to me. She read line by line the big book and explained it to me. And she said, why don't you try to see if you eat like Bill drank or thought like Bill thought or felt like Bill felt. And so when I reread the Bill story and I thought, I'm this man with this disease and I can't stop. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. I can't beat this disease. Then I came to love Bill's story. Imagine that. This big book is amazing. So what I was like was food ruled my life. It was my friend. It was my companion. It was my lover. It was everything to me. I could never imagine life without food. I came to recovery. I had a slow start. I'm a tough learner, slow learner. So I got really strong recovery from that big book sponsor, but the push was really to go sponsor newcomers. And I didn't have a daily 15 minutes every day with a sponsor, which I need. And my sponsor just said, you're recovered now. Call me if you need me. And I was like, hell yeah, we don't have to talk every day. Once a week is what we talked. But then I just started binging on abstinent food. And I know that's an oxymoron, but I was too scared to pick up the sugar. So it just started with nuts, chips, popcorn. And I was still saying I was abstinent, but all that volume of food was triggering the same allergy and the obsession of the mind. So I wasn't spiritually fit, white knuckling a program, and I was out of ideas. I felt so scared because it wasn't the sugar, the pizza, the frosting. This was just on food, regular food. So then my How Ebby called. And special shout out to my How Ebby. She called, and I don't pick up the phone. Text me. Who picks up their phone? But she called me and she had the sweetest voice and she just explained the How program. And we have How in California. It's 1 hour How, so it's different than 2 hour How. So I completely shut her out. Didn't really listen, kind of was like, I'm not doing How, but she gave me a list of names with strong women in program who I had heard before who had what I wanted. And so I called these women and the story was the same. OA How had transformed their lives. These women had 10, 20, 30 years of back-to-back black and white abstinence, which I had never seen in the rooms. They were living happy, joyous, and free. They had their weight off. I came for the vanity, stay for the sanity. And they would say, OA is the last house on the block, but no, OA is the last house on the block, but How is the tent in the backyard of the last house on the block? And I was in, I wanted what people had. I had a slow start. I was slipping and sliding, went through a few sponsors. I did the 70 questions maybe 3 times. I was used to be embarrassed of that. Now that's my badge of honor. I thought that H and How stood for how can I get away with this? But it was really honesty and being humble and coming into this program with an open heart and an open mind. And I stuck around because you guys have what I had. And, you know, someone else mentioned now that, you know, we're just home and isolation. I can't even imagine picking up clay feet, but that three-legged stool, the emotional, physical, and spiritual sobriety that I get from this program, I would not want to be in the food right now. So if this is your first time joining in or you're a newcomer, you're still struggling in the food, just reach out. We've all been there. We just trudge. I like bozos on the bus. I like stay with the herd. I love that it's a broad highway. There's room for all of us. And, you know, I'm out of ideas. I don't know where else I'd go after How. They say it's like the mafia. You know too much. I couldn't go back to regular OA. That didn't work for me. I needed structure and discipline. And let's see, a minute left. So what I'm like today, I follow the How program. I credit it with saving my life. I've made amazing friends in this program. And we say that, you know, we were forced to be friends because you have to call people. But after a while, you actually start building these amazing spiritual tribe that I'd be lost without. I went from a text only to actually being on the phone quite a lot. As you know, we make I call my sponsor, I have a sponsee, I make 3 hookup calls and more. So we stay connected, we're out of isolation. And I can't get too far in fear or resentments because you all make me work a step around it. So I get out of self and into this spiritual program. So I'm winding up on time. That is what I have. Thank you for listening and being here tonight. And I would now like to introduce Lewis, our guest speaker, who qualifies for 20 minutes. Lewis, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your share. That was great. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
This is Megan. Can I know how you would like to be timed?
15 minutes and then at the end. That'd be great.
15 and then time to stop. Okay. I got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll put it in the chat directly to you and I'll yell at the end if you don't stop.
Thank you, Megan. Appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity also. Appreciate it. Paralysis Over Food, my name is Lewis. I'm from Maryland, and I'm very grateful to be here. This is such a great meeting, and I get so much out of it. I need you all a lot more than you'll ever need me, and that's what I'm so grateful that you're here and that I have a place to go that's safe, that where I can share who I am as an addict and what I'm dealing with as an addict in this very strange time that we're going through. One of the things that has been really brought to the fore, given what we're going through with this pandemic, is kind of 2 core issues of my recovery. One is, how do I deal with my discomfort? And then the other one is that how can I lead a life where I'm comfortable in my own skin? And OA How has provided a solution for both of those things. And I'll start from the beginning. I am intense. I think things and feel things a lot more intensely than people that don't have this disease. I know I'm not alone in here with this. And I believe that my intensity began when the sperm hit the egg. And I believe that it was at that moment that my disease began as well. I do not attribute my disease to my intensity. I think that that's an attribute of what I've been given by God. What is my disease is that I have a problem with my intensity. And that's the nature of, my core nature of my living problem is I have a problem with Lewis. And so I was born into an alcoholic family. My father was alcoholic. My mother was untreated compulsive overeater. Both parents were untreated bipolar. So I grew up in crazy town. My earliest memory is about 3 years old, looking out the window, and it was a cloudy day, and I was asking myself, why was I here? I clearly did not belong. There's a lot of beatings that went on when I was growing up. At about 6 years of age, I was playing in a play yard with some kids, and I fell and hit my head and hard, and I got what they called a subdural hematoma, which is a bruising of the brain, and I had to go into major brain surgery. I came out of that brain surgery and I was in despair because that was at the moment in my life that I realized my parents just weren't there. They were too self-absorbed with the disease. So in the recovery from that, I asked for some steak and fries and I had it. And I just fell in love with it. I just kept eating more and more and more and more of it. And pretty soon I got fat for the first time in my life. And the nurses around me began limiting my food intake. And because they were concerned that I was gaining weight so rapidly. And that is the time that I believe I began this disease. Soon after that, I was overweight. And because of my brain operation, I was a bit disoriented. I cried a lot. I was uncoordinated as a kid. So I became the taunt of the schoolyard, and there was a lot of bullying that went on at the time. And the way I handled it was just eating food. And I remember soon after that, my mom was concerned about the weight gain that I had. So she put us on diets And I then began to have friendships with people that had the food that I was not able to get at home. And that was the, that was what drove me to have the relationships with these people, was because I could have the food that I wanted to have at their place. Another thing that happened at this time was my father got sober and in AA, and he was a secretary of a meeting, and he'd come home with the money from the meeting, and my sister and I would steal that money, and we'd go out and buy candy and all kinds of, you know, what I call the crack foods, and we just binge. I look at my childhood until I was about 11. It was pretty much, it was a binge. I was going from binge to binge, essentially, and I was very overweight. When I was 11 years old, I started doing drugs and alcohol. And although I was still compulsively eating, the focus was not so much on the eating as it was on getting high. So as a result, I lost some weight, but I still binged. No question I binged. And soon after that, I began to be interested in girls. So I began to understand that, you know, if I'm heavy, I'm not going to be attractive to girls. So then I began to go through this process of exercise bulimia, where I would restrict and exercise a lot and lose the weight, and then just binge and get it all back in, get the weight back, and then some. And this happened for years. And I would fluctuate, probably it started at about 50 pounds a year to about 150 pounds a year. I'd yo-yo. And that probably went for about 20 years or so. I got sober when I right at the end of college. And soon after that, I was smoking cigarettes. So cigarettes also were a way in which I controlled my weight. Within a year after I got sober, I quit smoking cigarettes. And then the weight began to be a huge issue. And I went at it with the whole exercise bulimia in a way that I had not done before. I just really went into it with full force. And I remember I was about 2.5 years sober. I began dating this woman in the program that ended up going into OA How. And, you know, I certainly qualified at that point in time, but I wasn't ready for it. And she has maintained her back-to-back abstinence since that time. And she's an extraordinary example of this program. But, you know, needless to say, we broke up and I continued my unmanageable eating. And I then hooked up with a friend of mine, and we ended up renting a beach house together during the summer. And he was married to someone who was a member of this fellowship as well. So I have had exposure to OA How for a long time. And but I thought that eating disorder was something for really sick people, you know, and I was okay with the drugs and alcohol, sobriety and all that stuff. That's all I needed. And I had this food business under control. So, I didn't need to deal with it. The thing though about my sobriety, looking back on it, is I found that the sanity, the promise of the sanity in the program was always elusive to me. And it took me a while once I got into OA How to recognize that the reason for that is I was practicing an act of addiction. So although I was working the steps in AA, I could not really get the freedom that it's written in the book. I mean, I'm certainly a lot better sober, but there was still a lot of unmanageability in my life. And when I hit about 30 years of age, I began to recognize that this whole yo-yoing business was probably unhealthy. So I then decided to, quote unquote, learn how to eat, you know, and thereby I gained 100 pounds. And And that took a number of years to get to that point. But then what happened was I ended up going to a hospital program that was that focused on diabetic treatment. And they gave me shakes there, and I lost like 90 pounds in about 3 months or so, 3-4 months. And the whole thing of that program was you lose the weight and then you learn how to eat in a healthy manner. And I didn't want any of that. I always had in the back of my mind that once I lost the weight, then I would give, I would have the opportunity to go ahead and then treat myself, which I did. And then it took a couple of years, but I regained all that weight. And then I did the same thing over again. I went to this to the same medical program at the hospital. I lost all that weight. And then the binging got so bad afterwards that I gained 65 pounds in 6 weeks. And I'd never gained weight that quickly before. And I just was out of control. I couldn't stop. And this person that I'd worked with at the time, that I became pretty close with, and she had gotten abstinent in OA How, and she just happened by circumstance to come by our house. And when I saw her, she was glowing. I mean, she was radiant. She looked, I hadn't seen her in a while, and I hadn't seen her since she'd gotten abstinent. But she really shone her grace really shone forth. And then within a week after that, she'd taken me to my first OA How meeting. I wish I could say that I got abstinent at that point in time. But one of the challenges that I've had in my recovery is I've been sober a long time, and I've worked the steps a lot, and I've come under the mistaken notion that credits transfer from one program to another, and they do not. Somebody explained it to me once about the difference between recovery programs. And the thing that is unique about food recovery is that unlike recovery from drugs and alcohol, which is unidimensional, you just stay away from the substance. Recovery from food is three-dimensional. It's first, you stay away from the foods that cause you to binge. The second thing is you deal with time, and you eat at specific times in the day, and you don't eat all day long. And the third dimension of it is portion. So you balance all those three factors on a daily basis. And that's why How is so powerful, is that it does exactly that. It keeps me in the middle of the road, and keeps me focused and gives me the clarity to put one foot in front of the other and do that. The thing that has driven most of my relapsing was the fact that I struggled coming to terms with the foods over which I am powerless. And when I came in, it was just sugar. And then I relapsed on flour. It took me a number of years to surrender the flour. And then I relapse on fatty foods. And then that took me a number of years to surrender that. And then I relapsed again on portion. So and now I'm finally, and I hope and pray that this is my last, this is my final recovery, because I've really struggled a lot with this. And I'm so grateful to be here. And one of the things that's been profound about this time around is that I've worked the steps in a way that I had not before. And you know, one of the things that is remarkable, and this is, gets into the equanimity business, the discomfort in the equanimity business I was talking about earlier, is that I'm this whole time that we're going through right now has been extraordinary, and it is a very uncertain time. There's a lot of far more questions than answers we're living in right now. And so the thing that, how this has affected me is that it's elevated my discomfort. So as I shared earlier, I am intense. So my discomfort got elevated in this uncertainty. I was also, my contract ended the beginning of this month. So, you know, looking for a job in this economy and dealing with all these feelings. It's interesting, right before all this happened, I worked a fourth and fifth step with my sponsor regarding my work issues. So I've been in a world of discomfort through all this, and I'm learning that how the particularly the sixth and 11th step work is that I'm given a choice today. I can rest in the higher power and make that decision in the third step, and allow these feelings to happen. I don't have to react to them. So in other words, I have prejudices, and one of the prejudices that are most unhealthy to me is that discomfort is bad and comfort is good. And both are neither. So when I feel discomfort, I need the strength of God's love. And this is why the tools are so important, because when I am in discomfort, I feel unstable. And that instability drives a craving for stability. And when I'm left to my own devices to do that, I will act out on a defect of character. So how this program has worked for me, and this is where in my discomfort, I've been able to lean into the stability of service. And I live in a situation where I'm married and I got two kids, and they're going through a lot of stuff with all this uncertainty as well. And so what everyone needs in my circumstance is for me to be stable. And because God wants me sane to do his will. And so I use the tools on a daily basis to help me recognize where the stability lies. And I take action on it. So although I feel unstable, I am stable. And that's something that is truly remarkable, that I can live with that paradox inside of me. And it can only be done through the love of a higher power. And I access the love of the higher power through the we in this program. And I'm so grateful, and people are just so generous with their time when I make the phone calls. They're so willing to talk through this stuff, listen to me and listen to my issues. And I likewise am more than happy to listen to what people are going through. And it's in this exchange where we can, a day at a time, we can live through this challenge of isolation and go through it with equanimity and peace. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you
for
sharing your experience, strength, and hope, Lewis. Okay, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting, because we don't have time for pitches. I also want to thank those who participated, especially our speaker, Lewis, who offered so much of himself.
Hey, Lewis. Thank you.
That was great. Thank you for sharing.
May we please have the reading of Just for Today?
Hi, Just for Today. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Yay. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight on or off. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in saying the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God,
serenity, acceptance, cannot change, courage to change,
I can,
the wisdom
to know the difference,
it will,
amen.
Amen.
Coming back. Hey, you work, when you work it, you give a lot of love.
Bye. Thank you so much, Lewis.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, everybody.
Good to see everyone.
See everybody. Have a great week.
See you next week.
Bless you all.
Take care.
Be safe.
You too.
Stay
healthy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Tamara.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Have a good week.
Bye, everyone.
Good night, Howard.
Hey, thank you.
Take care. Thank you for an awesome meeting.